This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, that was another takeaway of mine from yesterday.
Munns, we appreciate it.
All right, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Jason Munns, Tiger Basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, let's get into the list. Haven't gotten to the Grizzlies yet, but we'll overreact to the Grizzlies' split of the weekend. They get a win on Friday night at Orlando, and then they fall last night at Cleveland. But I've got a couple of thoughts I want to pick Coach Hurd's brain on. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy your engagement ring. I'm not just an endorser. I am a customer as well. One of the reasons why it's one of the best spots to buy an engagement ring, you get more choices. Robert Irwin Jewelers has an enormous collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They also make designing a custom-made engagement ring risk-free and easy. You can do so with a peace of mind and with the meant-to-be guarantee. That means you can buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You'll have a full 365 days to return it, no questions asked. It's also not as daunting as it sounds. It's not as if you have to be, you know, an amateur jewelry professional. All you got to do is bring in a couple of pictures, go to work with the fine people at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You'll leave with a fantastic shopping experience. Every designer engagement ring mounting at Robert Irwin Jewelers is fully customizable to accommodate the center diamond size and shape of your choice. You can choose from yellow, white, or rose gold. Also, if you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it come to life. Also, remember, they have free ring sizing for life. If your RIJ engagement ring or wedding band no longer fits, don't worry. The fine people there will make sure they'll get it sized up for you as well. Don't sleep on the free jewelry spa service for life. That means that if you buy your jewelry there, you can take it in and get it out looking like the day that you got it. They also have great financing options. You can ask her now and pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers has 4 decades of experience in the jewelry business, and they've become a trusted name known for providing timeless treasures for generations of families here in the Memphis area. Visit the Diamond Showroom on Perkins, the store at South Haven off Goodman Road, or the Bartlett Town Center. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get to the list. All right, Hurd, over the weekend, the Grizzlies get a split. That means their road trip finishes up 1-2. They lost on Thursday night to Indiana, turned right back around on Friday night, had travel disasters, didn't even get in until 3 a.m. to Orlando, but they survive and they knock off the Magic on Friday night in a game that they trailed by as many as 19, but a 23-2 run in the third quarter got them right back in it, and then a couple of big defensive stops allowed them to pull away and knock off the Magic. That was 105-104 on Friday. And then last night against the Cavs, 129-123. All right, this was my big overreaction. See if you buy this. Everyone is focused on the Grizzlies' performance against the top teams, and I think it's understandable. When you're watching your team go up against the best, that's kind of the measuring stick game. You want to know how it is. I think it might be something a little bit different. For me, it's less about how they look against the best teams. It's do they play teams that can stay in front of Ja Morant? Because on Thursday against the Pacers, Nembhard did a pretty good job staying in front of Ja, frustrated him. Also a really bad quarter, a quarter in which you get 50 points in the second quarter. That kind of seals your fate. But then you turn right around, and the Grizzlies at times didn't look great against Orlando, but Orlando's a very good defensive team. And then last night, I felt like, eye test-wise, I felt like the Grizzlies played better last night than they did on Friday, but they get the split. But really kind of what it boils down to me is how you feel about the Grizzlies is solely going to be based upon, does the team they're playing have somebody that can keep Ja Morant in front of them?
Yeah, I agree with that, Jeff. But the normal fan or the normal basketball person, it's a cliche thing that it's a women and men, a lot of numbers don't.
Yeah.
And so apparently, and I haven't researched them in a while, but the numbers are saying that they are either 500 or below against the winning teams, and they are have a, you know, good winning percentage against the losing teams. And so with that being said, it's almost like we would want them to perform as we get closer to the playoffs against the better teams, because the playoffs is about adjustments. You're shrinking a lot and everybody getting to see a big identity or you. And then I agree with your point after that, Jeff, where you say who can stay in front of the job. But I think that's just a day-to-day thing, because most days, no matter if you play the same team, when he's on, he's one of them top 5, 10, 15 best players in the world where nobody can when he's having his day and turning the corner, you know. And so, and I don't know if you're looking it up or whatever, but it seems like from all the hoopla hearing everyone talking that they have a losing record against the better teams or the playoffs.
Teams that are 500 and above, and of course this fluctuates because based on it's based on teams' record today, but teams that are 500 or better, the Grizzlies are just 13-17 against those teams. Teams that are below 500, the Grizzlies are 24-3.
So that would also mean that, well, no, you said 24-3.
24-3.
So that's 27, and then they 13, and so that's 30.
They're 37-20.
So that would be. So I was trying to see how they schedule looking, but it sounds like they got another half. It's about even. It got another half of below and above.
So to your point, they've played so far 30 games against teams 500 or better, and they've played 27 against teams below 500.
So it's like, and then you say it's 25. So it sounds like it's about even how many they finna play. I was trying to see what they schedule getting lighter or harder.
It definitely picks up. They had, at the end of the All-Star break, they had the third most difficult remaining strength of schedule. Let's see where it is now. Okay. So the Grizzlies have 25 games remaining, and according to Tankathon, they have the eighth most difficult remaining schedule. So they play, the remaining strength of schedule is teams that are roughly 52.2%. So they have another game at home against Cleveland, two games against the Thunder, a game against Boston, a game against Denver, the Boston game's at home, the Denver game's on the road, home game against the Knicks. They have one more Laker game remaining. I think that one's on the road. Let's see. Yes. No, Laker game is at home. And those are their toughest remaining games. They also have one against the Pelicans, two against the Jazz remaining, one against the Hornets, one against the Blazers, one against the Spurs, and then one against the Hawks.
And so, and they're currently second in the West right now.
They're tied for second in the West with Denver. It's important to note Denver and the Grizzlies are currently tied. The Grizzlies' second-to-last game of the year is at Denver. That one game, if Denver wins that game, they win the series, the season series. If the Grizzlies win, they would win the series. So whoever wins that game effectively has a one-game advantage, because if you finish tied, the tiebreaker goes to who won the season series.
Who won. And so let me ask you this, Jeff. Where do you see, if you had to predict, where do you see the Grizzlies seeds would be? What do you think they see will be going to the playoffs?
So Jeff's been asking me. I keep kind of settling on third. And this is – so right now you're tied with Denver, but you have a two-game lead on the Lakers and the Rockets. The Grizzlies, to me, I feel like the Rockets are kind of backsliding back to a little bit more of where I thought they would be, which was kind of middle of the pack. With the Lakers, I know it's become the hot topic. It's Luka, it's LeBron. I understand that. I still think you're going to have problems on defense. Like right now it's going well because they're both playing extremely well, but there are going to be teams that are going to be able to take advantage of them defensively. So I just think it's going to be really hard for them to close that gap. Honestly, I'm more entertaining the thought of them. To me, I just think it's really going to come down to that Denver game, and I think Denver at home, like it's a spot the Grizzlies haven't played well. I feel like that's where it's going to go, and they're going to end up third.
Third, and most people think the Lakers might be sixth. What would you think about
that? So this is what scares me. If the Grizzlies finished third, do you know who they would likely be matched up with?
Oh.
The Clippers. The Clippers scare me more than the Lakers. Now, I think it's important to note the caveat. It's the Clippers with Kawhi.
Mm.
Because since Kawhi's been back, they've been really good. It's a team that has been extremely physical with the Grizzlies. They've given them a ton of problems defensively. Zubac, I think, is an underrated player, and he gives the Grizzlies a lot of problems. That is kind of a matchup that would scare me. Like, I would really wish for the Timberwolves to jump them. I would be much. I know most people would like just casually follow the NBA would think, oh, I'd much rather play the Clippers than the T-Wolves. I'm the opposite. I'd much rather play the Timberwolves than the Clippers.
And style of play. And you know Ty Lue will have him ready too. He does a good job, like you said, with that adjustment on defense. So where is the Lakers at?
Lakers right now are four.
The Lakers
and Rockets are tied at fourth.
Okay.
And right now the Lakers have the tiebreaker. Clippers are at six. T-Wolves are at seven. Dallas is at eight. Golden State's at nine. Kings are at 10. The Suns are at 11.
And who was the last team?
So then you have Spurs. Behind them you have Spurs, Blazers, Jazz, Pelicans.
I did not know. It just felt like a few weeks ago that the Lakers was talking about a borderline AC, 7C play. I didn't know they had worked their way all the way up to four that quick.
They've been pretty good. Let's see. I want to say in their last 10.
Yeah, because when AD was hurt, they were winning. I remember
they were 8-2 in their last 10. And then if you did it based on month, they've had a very good January and February. Let's see. This is really bad radio. Where's my expanded standings? There we go. Standings expanded. All right, the Lakers have been 16-6 since January. The Grizzlies have been 14-9. So the Lakers, and then on top of that, the Lakers have been 7-2 in February.
Oh, okay.
Grizzlies 5-4.
5-4. Okay. How deep do you see the Grizzlies going?
This is what it to me is solely based on matchups. Like, I think that's the thing in the West. I think everyone's kind of freaking out too much about specifically versus good teams. There are good teams that I think the Grizzlies play pretty well against. Honestly, this is like one of the first times I think the Grizzlies against the Celtics kind of match up decently well. They've been guarding the perimeter pretty well, and the Celtics don't have anyone that can really force them to have to play Edie off the floor. Like, the Grizzlies can kind of go small, and it's been okay. But now, when you flip it to teams like the Rockets that have long perimeter length and they're physical, those teams have been the Grizzlies, given the Grizzlies trouble. But like, it all to me just boils down to, what is that matchup? The number one thing for me is avoid the Thunder until the conference finals and pray to God somebody else can knock them off, because I think that's a real problem. It feels to me like a team that's going to win the first playoff series and then probably bounce in the second.
So second round.
Yeah. About like what we saw 2-3 years ago.
It felt like early in the year it was a little bit more high expectations, though, didn't it? Like, people was talking.
Yeah, but I guess I was always a little bit more cautious early because I recognized that the schedule the Grizzlies had early was very beneficial to them.
Mm.
Like, we're about to find out a ton about the Grizzlies, because here is what they've got coming up the next couple weeks. You got a big, big homestand. Starts with Phoenix tomorrow. Knicks on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back, Spurs on Saturday. Next Monday's the Hawks, and then the Thunder next Wednesday. Then they've got a brief road trip, Dallas, New Orleans. They come back, Suns, Jazz, Cav, Heat at home, all in a row. Then they have one last big West Coast road trip. You've got at the Kings, at the Blazers, at the Clippers, at the Jazz, at the Thunder. That's a five-game road trip. Come back for three at home, Lakers, Celtics, Warriors. Little East Coast road trip to close out that part of the calendar, at Miami, at Detroit, at Charlotte. T-Wolves at home, to Denver, finish with Dallas. The other thing that's kind of interesting, and maybe this is just coincidence and whatnot, I want to avoid a California team early. The Grizzlies have still not won a game in California. Whether or not that's coincidence, whether it's like, I don't even really just want to deal with it. Like, just take it away from me.
Yeah, get it out of here.
All right, I wanted to ask you about this. Have you noticed Jimmy Butler's now going by Jimmy Butler III?
I kind of been seeing it.
Is this a troll?
Is that his name?
I mean, but he's never going, like, Jimmy Butler's 36. Like, can you just announce I'm Jimmy Butler III at 36? How long has he been in the league?
Jimmy Butler, what, at least 10, 12 years? Not that long. Yeah, about
so 10. His first year was 2012. That's, so that's 14 years in the league.
That's 13. Yeah.
14 seasons in the league. I don't feel like in year 14 you're allowed to announce that you're Jimmy Butler III.
Unless you're Jimmy Butler III.
I mean, he is the person to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't change. It ain't like he changed religious to do
no.
it.
No, no. It's not like he converted anything. He's adding 3-6 to the back.
He's been playing good ball.
I mean, we're basically a couple of weeks away from him referring to himself as Trey Butler.
Yeah, but he's... I will say this. I think if I'm the Warriors coach, whatever he want to be, I will let him be, because maybe he got there too late, but they are playing really good basketball.
Okay. Hang with me here, though. Have you looked at since they've added him? All right, here's the game logs since they've added him, because I think there's a little schedule's kind of worked out in their favor. They beat Chicago after the deadline. They beat Milwaukee, who's been a dumpster fire. Lost at Dallas on ESPN when Kyrie just went insane. Beat Houston. Beat Sacramento, those two games on the road. And then they turned right back around and they beat Dallas on Saturday. It's not really like the who's who. That's beating who you're supposed to beat.
That's I gotta agree. Speaking of Dallas, what number did you say they was at? I didn't hear they in the playoffs.
They at 9.
Dallas already at 9? I thought when the trade was made, they was like it was more built for
Dallas is at tied for Dallas is tied for 8th with Dallas and the Timberwolves are I'm beg your pardon. Yes, they're tied for 7th with the T Wolves. They're both 31-27. They're a half game up on the Warriors.
So I know they big got hurt, but I know weeks ago when the trade was made, everybody was saying Dallas was built for now, like they were so much in front of the Lakers. Like, you know, Dallas got a 3-year championship window, yep. And now the Lakers, what, hit 4? That's how quick things change.
Well, it's so with Houston, since Van Vliet's been hurt, they've really struggled. And then with Dallas, like, you made the trade for Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis in the first half looked unstoppable,
mm-hmm.
And then he gets hurt.
Yeah, then the other two bigs out too.
Correct.
The lottery pick and the other
Lively.
Lively and the other kid that catch alleys really good that people thought why the Lakers didn't get one of them in their trade. Yeah, they're out. They even just signed some.
Powell's out.
And it's one more. Powell, like the fourth, basically the third when that comes in. I think he might have went to Arkansas or
let's see. You don't mean Kessler Edwards because he's a Purdue guy, right?
No,
Kessler went to Pepperdine. I forgot. Oh yeah, shout out Waves.
Yeah, them young people. You got the roster going?
I do.
He wear a headband all the time. He plays a lot. Him and Lively was doing a lot together. They was bullying people a lot. He came from.
Not PJ.
PJ more of a 3-4.
Olivier Maxence Prosper?
No.
Moses Brown?
No. That's who they just signed. They have no bigs. They had to go to Moses Brown.
Do we not Najee Marshall?
No.
I think we've gone through it.
You went through the top of the roster too?
Yeah, I was on the depth chart. All right, let's see. Gafford, duh.
Yeah.
The depth chart, I guess, took out the people that were
hurt.
Injured.
I was gonna say, go up.
I was on the whole depth chart.
Yeah, so all three of them are hurt, and Gafford, and Davis, and because you remember they were saying, oh, they got the Lakers didn't get no big, they finna be crazy on the inside, you know, like
yes.
So that's what's going on with Dallas also. Daniel Gafford.
All right. Anything else Grizzlies wise?
No, I've been hearing a lot that everyone said it's Vince time. I haven't kept up as much as I should, but I've been hearing that kind of ring through.
He's clearly still on the minutes restriction.
Okay.
I think for the Grizzlies, this playoff run to maximize, I think he's going to end up having to take Jaylen's spot. But I also acknowledge what he gives you on the defensive end, which they kind of need, big, strong, long guy on the perimeter. Like, you are going to miss some of Jalen Wells' offense. Like, I understand it's been a little more up and down the last few weeks, but I also think that's kind of to be expected. Jalen Wells is his first NBA season. It's not unusual to see a guy the length of the season for someone that's never played 82 games to take its toll. But I just feel like I think Vince offers something on the perimeter that they don't have, and that's like truly defensive, like stopper slash make something happen.
Totally agree, and that's probably why I've been hearing his name. Think I heard before our show, Jeff bring him up. I was listening to another show. You even brought him up off air.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, I like Vince Williams' game.
Okay.
But I just feel like he provides something that they're lacking, which is truly like I think Jalen's done a very good job in the role they've asked, which is, hey, you're going to have to man up usually the best scorer every single night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of like playing outside of the structure of the defense. Vince, I think, can offer something that Jalen maybe can't just from a body perspective.
Yeah, just body.
Mass.
Mass that sometimes you need in sports, you need some.
You need somebody that looks good off the bus.
Yeah. And can handle it. So I always, like I say, when I listen to you guys, Jeff and Jason John and other guys on ESPN, I have heard that name. So
yes.
I always feel like when I'm hearing high-end sports radio guys say it got to be where smoke is fire. You know what I mean? And so that has been used around a lot of good. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that before you moved on from the Grizzly because I have been hearing that name, and I'm probably, like I say, I got some guys on the Knicks, so I'm finna get back tuned in. The Suns, I got some guys. I'm finna get more in-depth with it. Is Gigi fully healthy?
So Gigi had a big Friday night because he hit shots.
Okay.
Gigi came in, and this was like the game was like really getting out of hand. The Magic get the lead to 19. Gigi quietly goes like on a 9-0 run by himself in about 90 seconds. It's still the same problem with Gigi. If he's making shots, it's awesome. But defensively, he's just getting absolutely cooked.
Oh.
But it's also a tough spot. Like, you miss that much time,
mm-hmm.
and now the Grizzlies are kind of in the thick of it. And so what seems to be happening is that the guy, the best players, their minutes are expanding. The guys that seem to be in the circle of trust off the bench are Santi, Vince, Kennard. Then they're kind of rolling with Scotty and Brandon.
Brandon Clark, right?
Yes.
I was going to say Brandon Clark usually. So Gigi is outside of that.
He's been in the mix, but it's his minutes have been shrinking where I think a lot of people will be like, why is he not playing more? But it's like, guys, go look at the defensive numbers.
Yeah, shrinking and fluctuating. I feel like with his health problems and even how he started playing late, I feel like if he stay healthy, Gigi breakout year will be next year.
Well, I'm it's the other thing. He's still 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did go to college early. He moved up a class. And what's that? That is true.
Like, yeah. I'm with you entirely. All right, Shedeur Sanders. All right, I don't know why I guess we've decided that it's news again. Maybe this is just kind of the NFL circles. Shador's not throwing at the combine, and I'm sitting there going like, no duh.
Mm-hmm.
None of the top guys throw. They all throw at their pro day.
Pro day at school.
Now, the whispers are Cam Ward might throw. I still would be surprised. This is kind of what like drives me insane. It's like, because people feel a certain way about Shador one way or the other, it's like anything he does is like got to cause a take. When I'm just sitting there going like, I never expected him to throw at the combine. And honestly, I would be surprised if Cam Ward winds up throwing.
Yep.
And if he does wind up throwing, I honestly feel like part of that is a statement of, I'm coming for the number one pick. Sure. I'm going to throw. Sure. I still would be surprised if he throws.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, Jeff, I tell you this all the time because since I've been into the media and working with great guys and stuff like that, but I'm still at the end of their old balls coach. And I think that the media, and you got to admit with this, even though you're a great media, sometimes because we have to keep in the, they create stories. And like you say, like.
Well, it also hits a check mark. It's like Sanders, check.
Yeah.
Like, it's open for takes. But, yes, there's no question.
No, because I'm saying people, like, a lot of high-end prospects does this every year, so it's like.
Most of them.
So that's why I say sometimes.
You know the quarterbacks that throw? The quarterbacks that are second, third-round guys.
They're trying to move up.
Correct.
And so you even at the NBA draft, same thing. When somebody already top 10, they don't play at the combine. You know what I mean? And so I get that part of it. And so it's not a big story, but you are right. Shedeur Sanders do come with a big name grabber. He's a big story, whatever he do. Now, I want to say this humbly in everyone's face. I think Cam would do it because, you know, we know people usually don't do it, but Hurricanes are leaders. And so, you know, he just might want to show the world that, you know, he want to come and live in this great state of Tennessee. Titans got the number one pick, right? Am I wrong?
Titans have the number one pick. I'm also in the mode, though, of, both could be available for the Giants.
And they are the what pick?
Three. So the Titans are making it seem like they're probably not going quarterback. And then the Browns are, they have a lot of questions, but the Browns most believe are going to try to go veteran quarterback.
Got you. Because they got a lot of money up. But hold on. Those two guys are the top picks, right? Them two and who else?
Those are the top two quarterbacks.
Them two, right, Cam? And that's another thing I can say. I don't know if you know they homeboys. I don't know if you be paying attention to those socials, but they get the fussing about petty competitions all the time with Shedeur growing up in Dallas, Cam growing up in Houston.
Yes.
I think Cam would actually do it on some petty stuff just to one up on Shedeur. And Cam got that type of confidence. You shouldn't do it. Because it's a chance if you got more things going bad than good. But Cam actually do got that type of confidence in his. He think he that guy when it comes to his arm. I'm telling you.
So I saw the video that they did last week.
Him drinking water.
That felt scripted.
You think so?
Yes. That one felt. I'm going to drink what I'm paid to drink. Gatorade. That whole one felt scripted to me.
See, I feel that was a comeback because Cam was really getting into his butt about, and he had to
Captain check down?
Yeah, he had to be like, well, man, I get paid. You know, that's how I felt if it wasn't scripted because they do try to call each other out often.
Yeah, I mean, there were things that you would say, but, like, to me, the one that was when they brought up the bowl game. And it's like, who cares? Like, and it was like, it was so set up for, well, you quit on your team, whatnot. I think what I've decided is Cam has the higher ceiling. I still don't know if either are going to be like top 10 quarterbacks.
You know, I would agree with you on that 10 years ago, but when me and you do our list, the people 8 and up, they got a chance to jump in on their level. Like, they got a chance of being
My thing with Shador is, I think Shador is well-coached and knows how to play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that Shador has, like, the NFL arm. Like, I could see where Shador winds up being very, like, Chad Pennington-y.
I was thinking more if he got a good team, it works like a Brock Purdy.
So, that's always the thing with Brock, is how much is Brock Shanny versus how much is, like, if you just throw Brock on any team, is he good?
Because I didn't like Henny.
No, Pennington.
Pennington, my bad. I didn't like
Pennington. He's a Marshall guy. But, like, to me, it's like, he could be...
What about the dude from Seattle? Could he be like that?
Geno? Well, yeah. I was honestly thinking, I would like to know what Teddy Bridgewater would have been had Teddy not gotten, like, his knee absolutely ripped to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
Because Teddy kind of had the same thing. Very good, knew how to play the position, didn't have an elite arm, but had a good enough arm, was pretty accurate with it, threw on time, like, did all those things. That kind of feels to me like Shador's ceiling. It's like, I don't feel like another guy that doesn't have an unbelievable arm, but he just doesn't feel like this to me. It's like, Burrow doesn't have an unbelievable arm, but I don't feel like Shador, I'm going to sit there back and watch and, like, realize, like, that was the next Burrow.
Yeah,
they both take a lot of sacks, though. I will say that.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Burrow. I would put Shador under there for now. I wouldn't put him that level. I will put Cam more on. What's the guy I kind of love, but I fell off a little bit that you don't like as much as most of us from San Diego?
Herbert.
Yeah, I put.
Cam's a better thrower.
Okay.
Now, if you need Cam to throw it on a 15-yard dig between through three defenders as hard as he can, yeah, he can't do that like Herbert. But can Cam, like, complete a flat pass or throw, you know, a drag route and not throw it? Like, Herbert only has one speed. Mm-hmm. Everything's a fastball.
Let me ask you this before allegations, because I want to just talk about sports.
Yeah.
Could you do Cam and Deshaun Watson some? Can you think about just sports wise? Because the guy that we've been saying
last 2 years. I like Cam more than Deshaun.
I think Deshaun is really, really good before this stuff happened.
Deshaun put up a lot of bad, like a lot of numbers in A, the COVID year when nobody played defense.
Mm-hmm.
He really feasted on that. But what I've never loved about Deshaun, like you said, I'm just talking football.
Yeah, I'm just talking football.
And honestly, this is a problem that I had with Lawrence, too. They both came from offenses where every throw is just to the outside. Do you realize how hard, like, yes, the Eagles were able to scheme it up for Jalen Hurts. Why? Saquon Barkley's in the backfield, and they have this absolute mammoth offensive line. You've got to honor the run. You got to stop so you can sell it, leave it one-on-one. I just never felt like when it came to having to go down the field without just making a big shot play, Deshaun was never that for me. And Cam, the problem with Cam is how much of the turnovers are him just going YOLO versus, like, can you coach that out of him? Or is it just he's always going to be high risk, high reward? Like, is he Brett Favre?
No,
Jameis is the same way. It's like when you watch Jameis through 10 snaps, you will see on 10 snaps, you'll see four throws that you can't believe that were so amazing. You'll see three throws that you can't believe that were so dreadful. And then you'll see a little in between, the three in between.
Yeah, I want to put him in a category by himself. I know Brett
Jameis Ford. Jameis is a one of one.
Yeah. I know Brett Ford had a lot of turnovers, but I still want to, like you say, keep Jameis one of one. And actually, I know this is a sports show. We don't do religion, but you know, Jameis did ask after a game for God to deliver him from pick sixes.
And he did, but he forgot to ask him to deliver him from picks, period. Because the next week, two picks, but they weren't returned.
So they say, be like I say, this is a sports show, but they say be careful. You know, be direct. Whatever religion you in, I think they say be direct. Which accent? For like a kid?
Some team out there, just give Jameis another chance, because it's like,
he can't throw. That day that he had them pick six, he actually broke
he
like
threw
a
for like 600 yards.
I'm going to say he threw like 500
it was like
yards.
It was like 500 yards, and they threw another pick.
I think if you're right, if it wouldn't for, do they take yards away when you run the other way?
Not anymore.
They used to back.
Right.
Okay.
No, it's all just, but like,
because he would only be throwing like 100 yards.
No, it's insane. I mean, it's. Like, in a game where he throws a pick six and then he just turns right around and throws, like, a 75-yard bomb. Like, it's...
It was Monday Night Football or something.
You cannot help yourself. Like, it's like you have to watch. He's the most must-watch quarterback. But it's, like, what keeps him from being the number one pick, which is what he was, what he's, like, held him back, is the fact that he turns it over. Like, honestly, to a similar level, this was always... To a worse level, this was what Daniel Jones' problem was with the Giants. When you watch Daniel throughout the course of a game, he wasn't that bad. But it's the turnovers are just so backbreaking that it makes him unplayable.
And that's a testament, too, to even though they keep making the rules worse and worse for these defenses, if you're not elite, these defenses will pick you up. Well, I say this, if you're not at least a counter, if you're average in NFL, them defenses going to pick you up.
Eat you alive.
Because let's be real, we can talk about turnovers now. But Jameis Winston wasn't a turnover king at Florida State. It was these defenses that, he didn't.
The second year he got a case of the picks, but the first year, the Heisman year,
yeah, he was.
It was like 41-3.
That's what I was. Yeah, that year. So it's like now just to come the way he just. I mean, some of them too. I don't know what it is because he is a good quarterback. You can be like, what the hell you just did?
I think
like,
it's literally he just trusts his arm so much.
Got a pretty good arm. Geno is a safe for him, right?
Yes.
Like, if you keep it safe, Geno even went a couple years ago to let you know quarterbacks down. Geno went to the Pro Bowl.
Yes. All right, we're going to talk about Stafford, what we do. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that because his name's in the news at the Combine as well. We'll discuss that next on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The winners just keep on coming in Zen Sports VIP Players Club sweepstakes. This month, Zen Sports is offering the VIP Players Courtside Club sweepstakes, and that means you could win 2 VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville and a $10,000 bonus bet on any tournament game or an alternative cash payout of $10,000. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. And if you're not the grand prize winner, no sweat. You'll also have a shot to win one of 10 small prizes, which grant you 2 tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and a $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or $250 cash prize. All customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, will receive 500 bonus entries as well. Zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules. You'll also earn a $100 no-danger first wager. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions apply. Full rules at zensports.com/sweepstakes. No danger, first wager, limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. All right, Herd, we got a little bit of news over the weekend, although I was not in the camp of it was the story that the headline read. But the Rams have announced that Matthew Stafford and his agent can speak to other teams to figure out what the market is. According to Albert Breer of SI.com, the Giants, Steelers, Browns, and Raiders have shown interest in Stafford, along with unnamed, quote, others, end quote. Each of those 4 teams, according to Pro Football Talk, will need a quarterback for 2025, and each could do a lot worse than Stafford. The challenge becomes working out companion deals with the Rams for a trade with Stafford for a new contract. Along the way, Stafford might learn what a team would pay if the team didn't give up draft picks or players to get him, which can make Stafford more interested in being released than traded. All right, so basically, let me lay it out for you the way that I understand it. Stafford wants to get paid this offseason. He wants kind of a $50 million. It's obviously going to be the last contract. The Rams have a decision of what is the number we're comfortable with that makes him happy, and he's our quarterback. I think if they could all figure out the right number, he'll stay with the Rams. But the Rams also reportedly are interested in the idea of, okay, if we can't find the number that works for us, there's the thought of Sean McVay with Aaron Rodgers for a one-off, basically. And they're trying to turn the Rams want to turn the roster over and get younger. Stafford obviously doesn't want to do that. I think the problem, though, is if you're Stafford, what are the teams that would actually interest you? I could see Steelers and, to a certain degree, Stafford kind of looks like a Steelers quarterback, the big guy that can just kind of chunk it deep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the Vikings are going to do, but I think the Vikings would make sense if they've decided we're not quite ready to do J.J. McCarthy, but we need to do the bridge. That makes sense. But in terms of if you're Stafford, are you really just going to go take a payday? Like, it seems to me like, okay, the teams like the Titans could pay him, the Raiders could pay him. Why do I want to go do that? I would rather just figure out a number that makes me happy and stay in L.A. and at least try to go one more time, because the reality is the Rams played the Eagles the best of anyone in the playoffs this year.
That's true. The Steelers, man, you give Mike Tomlin a quarterback, man. I think we stop talking. He don't go into these games as the underdog, and sure, he wins them or whatever, because he's going to make sure he coach them up. Vikings, I didn't hear you say that originally, so that would have been big time. I think they both in a prideful situation.
Yes.
I think the Rams are in a situation where they know, and this happens a lot in sports, right? Even though they know that he's worth more money,
right,
it's like this is the contract.
Correct.
And then they just did this last year.
The Niners do this a lot,
mm-hmm,
which is like, all right, you want it, like that's what we saw with Ayuk. It's like, you want to go get more, we'll let you go. Like, they let him explore a trade.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, I'm just going back to the Niners.
They paid him a big
They gave him a deal, but I don't think the Niners gave him the most money.
It was a pretty big deal.
It was like $40 million, but I think like he could have probably gotten more from like the Patriots, who had cap room.
Yeah. And then we just like, I think we're tired of Debo. Told him the same thing. No. So back to Matt Stafford, I think with the right team, like you say, people think he has 2-3 years left. So, of course, he's wanting to get all, you know, football is a sport where, you know, God forbid it, but he could, something can happen next year. You know what I mean?
I mean, he played the end of the year with broken ribs and I think a thumb.
Yeah, so things happen. You see, yes, Aaron Rodgers in 4 plays, and it just took away, and I hated for the Jets, the coach, everything got fired up. So I just think they both probably think he feel like, man, forget a Super Bowl right now. I need my money. I feel like they feel like, well, we know he's a great quarterback in top 7-8, but we also, you know, we don't want to come up off of, you know, not being able to get other people too. And like you said, they might can do Rodgers a year. I mean, if you go do Rodgers a year, I would actually still trade with the Steelers and have Justin as my backup. And I think Justin would do a lot better with a situation with as many weapons as the Rams got, and let Aaron Rodgers do this for a year and bring in what's the guy that was with Chicago that's with the Steelers?
Justin Fields.
Yeah. Bring him, you know, that'd kind of be how I would play it. Because I don't think they just release him, do you?
So Fields, I think, technically is a free agent.
What about Stafford? When you said Stafford, don't get the trade.
So the thing is, like, it could work out that it's better for the Rams. They could release him or they could trade him. It's going to be based on, if someone basically says to Stafford, we're going to pay you a bucket full of money, Stafford will ask for his release because then he doesn't have to get traded on the other contract. My gut says he's going to be the Rams quarterback next year. I think this is a lot like we saw with the Niners, where a lot of guys get negotiations, but they realize, like, that's where I want to go back. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I'm just going to go with anything the 76ers are saying about Joel Embiid, like consulting doctors, alternative options. Guy's going to be shut down for the season.
I agree.
It's almost like maybe he should have been shut down last year. They should have done that. All right, my man. Appreciate you being in here. He, of course, is Norton Herd of Team Thad. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Coach Jeffrey, saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.